I'm glad that we could call unto a Savior today. I'm glad we could call unto a God, for the Bible teaches us we can call unto Him and He will show these. He will answer us. Aren't you glad we serve a risen God, a risen Savior? We don't serve a dead God. Aren't you glad tonight that we can go to God and pray and know that He hears us? He'll show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is Seward, Alaska. Your pastor came there for I don't know how many years, 14 years. Our daughter Crystal, they were serving in our church there. There's 2,900 people there. That's all there is. I would have been happy to live the rest of my life there. We have spent 31 years of our marriage pastoring in this town. God is an amazing God. What God has done through that little church. God finally moved us in the building that you can't see, but out of those front windows, that's Resurrection Bay Baptist Church, you can see the bay. Had a guest preacher there, and he's preaching, and he's looking out, and the people are sitting like you're seeing, but you see all those windows, and you can see the ocean, and a whale jumps up. You're talking about breaking a train of thought. Brother Collins says, "A whale!" And he blew his message. But it's amazing. It's an amazing place to live, amazing place to be. We see people from all around the world. Cruise ships come in. There's 80 different nationalities came into our church last year. I'm just saying, it's an amazing place to be. What God did through that little church, I don't have time to tell you tonight, but it's been amazing. We have missionaries on the field, preachers. It's been amazing what God has done. What we look at Jeremiah 33:3, the foundation, our family. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. These are my four children and their wives or husbands. You know Pastor Caleb. I believe he came here for your mission conference. And Miss Kaylina, then your pastor and his wife. The next girl is my daughter Charity and her husband Cody. And they are serving over in Biloxi, Mississippi at Brother Carr's church. Then that's my son Jake and his wife Amber, and they're up in Maine pastoring a church there. God has truly just began to move, and we began to see God work in our lives. It started with a dad that said yes. It started with a mother that said yes on both sides of my wife and I. Then you had a husband and wife who said yes. And now we got four children, and they're saved, and we know they're going to heaven, and we see three of them being part of pastors, and Charity and Cody. God, we only know what God's going to do with their life. It'll be amazing, because God's got big plans for their life. I'm not saying everybody has to be a pastor, but everybody ought to be willing to give the gospel. Everybody ought to be involved in missions. We have all been commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. The ministry, as we look at this, we began to see, and I've seen great things. We've seen through Resurrection Bay Baptist Church, the youth outreach for Christ. And you say, why are you giving all of this? Because I want you to know what we're going to go do. We're just going to duplicate. We're just trying to help churches believe. Hey, the old stuff still works. God is still on the throne. You can still preach the Word of God. And it's just an amazing thing when you see God work in the hearts and lives of young people. Youth Outreach for Christ, your pastor's wife, the night that we started that, Crystal was this baby. You wouldn't believe it. When she was a little girl, she was, I mean, if Tigger could be a girl, that was Crystal. There was no quit in Crystal. She bounced and hopped and was excited. When I would come home from work, Dad, and she was Dad's girl. She was Mom's girl. We've got videos of her with a microphone in her hand. She could barely walk. Have sung her whole life. The first song that I can remember her singing, belting from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head, was "The Love of God is Greater Far Than Tongue or Pen Can Tell." But in 1989, God said, "Start the Youth Outreach for Christ." So we did. That first night, I was up, I had to work a job and pastor at the same time, and I was hanging lights in a jewelry store. And the lady came in, she said, "Brother Kelly, you need to get to the hospital now." And I run to the hospital, and I'm thinking on the way up there, it's Jake, because Jake had been born. He was just a young born baby. And I thought, you know, he had the cord wrapped around his neck. And I thought perhaps he was having some problems. And Miss Marcia said, no, it's Crystal. Crystal. We go up there and here's this little girl who every time she sees her daddy, her lights, her eyes. She runs and she's lethargic. She's not moving. You know, when you got your friend, the doctor, Dr. Packard, and he's got his hands in his head, and I don't know. Got my dad, and he's over there with Crystal, who Crystal loved, and he's holding her, and got my mom and my wife and family, and I said, God, I don't know what to do. And I walked outside, and I said, God, you know, we got a youth rally tonight. God, I don't know what you... What are you doing? God said, son, it's going to be all right. Just trust me. And I walked back in the hospital and I told my mom, I told my wife, they were sitting here. I said, God says it's going to be all right. My mom said, you know, Mike had something like this. They'd just done a spinal tap on Crystal. My dad had held her. Last thing the doctor wanted to do on that little baby, held her. My mom says, Mike had low sugar. You say, that crazy doctor didn't check her sugar? Well, nobody would have even thought it. She was just, they thought for sure something more serious than that. And her sugar had bottomed out. They gave her some orange juice, and within a few hours, she was up. By the way, we had the youth rally in 1989. Young man called to preach, Chris Blank. Another man saved. Oh, what God can do if we're just willing. What I'm saying is there's been storms and there's been trials, there's been questions, but God is still faithful. You'll see Pastor Barlow in here. We got to go to Barrow. We won this game. It was an exciting game, one that we'll remember. But you say, why would you put football in here? Well, you see these boys here. We're going to look at camps here in a minute. And you think, well, ministry don't mean, when you're going in and you're sending these kids to camp, well, you'd have to realize that this is not coach-led. This is student-led. These are young men that went to church and got right with God and said, hey, I can lead my church. I can lead my people. I can lead my peers. And that year, if I remember, they made him pray for every practice. They made him pray. They took a stand. And they prayed. Sought God. I'm not saying every one of them boys are right. We've seen one of them. Drew was counting. It's amazing how many of them are gone now. One was beat to death with a shovel by another boy. I think, is he in that picture too? I think it's amazing to me as you look at that. But I'm saying the reality of it is here tonight, folks, God will use our lives if you'll just be willing. God has used our life in plan after plan, whether it's youth camp, whether it's kids camp or teen camp, whatever it may be, God will use your life if you're willing. Vacation Bible School's Resurrection Bay Baptist Church began to send teams out, and we began to do in the villages of Alaska. It's a very dark place, and some places, this is Selawik, there's no cars. There's just boardwalk. They ride four-wheelers, and they ride snow machines. That's all there is. And everything else, and you walk everywhere. And my wife and I was there in January this year, and the pastor and his wife hadn't had any water, running water, and hadn't had any septic for up to 3 months at that point. And they had the rest of the winter. As far as I know, they still don't have any water or any septic. They've been serving in that village. Their name is the Comptons. They've been serving there for 29 years. I'm saying, he's 70 years old. We need some young people. Right now in the state of Alaska, there's buildings and villages. Understand, there's opportunities. But we need somebody to say, Lord, I'll go. West Virginia, I just preached there just a few weeks. 100 churches without pastors. America truly needs to... Hey, preachers, it's amazing to me how many times I've been to Bible colleges or talked to Bible college people and said, we're getting boys in, but we're not producing. They're wanting to come out with a six-figure salary and a full house. And the reality of it is, we need to produce young men that are willing. This is a unique church. You'd be surprised. Couples retreats, building strong, God-centered marriages. You know the devil hates marriage. Whose idea was marriage? God. Don't you think we ought to get back to God's design for marriage? You know this book, the Bible, has all the answers you and I need tonight. Mission conferences. It's been amazing opportunities after opportunity to go into churches to produce, present faith promise missions. Then God called us in this new ministry, the Heart of Truth Ministries. And this is the reason. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." People don't know who they are and what God wants to do with them. You're not here just waiting till your number's called. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You matter. You are important. How many believe that tonight? We believe that. How many live like that? God, my life is yours to control, Lord. Whatever it is that you want to do with my life, take my life, place it in. Lord, you use me wherever it is that you want to use me. He may take you out of your comfort zone when you're in your 60s. I say, I want you to start now going out and traveling. I want you to start. He may take you out of what you're used to. Hey, the reality of it is, as you look at this, people need help. There are ministries all around the world. Spiritual warfare conference after spiritual warfare conference, God has opened the doors. It's been amazing. We've got on this little plane. As a matter of fact, if you know anything about Bering Air, they're the ones that left Unalakleet, and they were headed to Nome, and this past winter they ended up on that. I think it made the news down here. They ended up on an ice pack. Crashed the week before. I was in Unalakleet and we were doing a service there. Got to be with missionaries, and what was amazing in Unalakleet, I met a mechanic who could fix the church bus, the van. In Unalakleet, they have roads. And what was amazing about that man gave his testimony of salvation to Michael, the missionary there. He got on that plane. He never knew that would be his last Sunday in church. He never knew, but thank God that, hey, by that way, we just happened by that way. People are hurting. We've seen people that were committing suicide. What was amazing? Resurrection Bay Baptist Church bought a snow machine for a missionary. He was part of this rescue team. I'm going out to preach a spiritual warfare conference, and on their drive, he gets a call. He says, Norman has ran away, and he's going to go shoot himself. Go ahead and make your way to the house, you and your wife. And I get to, he says, we're going to go. And he takes that brand new snow machine. He jets out. He gets the Norman. He saves Norman, takes the gun. Norman shows up at church that night. Norman got saved. What God could do if we'll just be willing to go. I wish I could say it was in our power and our might. Getting on those little planes. It's been, my wife and I said this past year, we're going on another adventure. Oh, what an adventure it has been. This is Selawik, that little gray building there that you see, the second one to your left with the boards over. That's the church. If you jump real hard, you can feel the whole church move. But it's an amazing place. 61, at one time, 51 below zero. And I'm doing a conference out there, and they open the door in the back, and it just smokes because of steam. And you see this little itty-bitty boy walk in, and he's got his fighter pilot jacket on and his face covered, and pulls it off, and it's this little native boy. Can I help you? I come to church. The parents would let those boys walk. I mean, we're talking 51 below zero. If not every bit of your skin is covered, we're talking those folks. We if it's raining, we have trouble coming to church. But they're walking and they got parkas and they're coming and they're sitting in the church. And it's amazing to me, I don't have a time limit there. Preach for 2 hours. Preach for the, hey, it's warm in here, preacher. We don't have any place else to go. There's not a restaurant in the town. There's not anything. There's not a skip. Only thing you have is basketball, a gym. Oh, what God could do with you. So why do you keep bringing back? No, there's a need. God's looking for some men. He's looking for some women. He's looking for some people. I don't have long. God's looking for somebody to replace us. Brother Compton, you'll see here in the next picture, 70 years old, they've been there for 29 years. There's nobody wanting to replace him. The work is too hard. A town of 1,000 people is all there is, and you have to fly in, fly out. You have to have your food delivered. I'm just saying, you talking about a hard, hard work? Well, how many doors did you knock on today? Well, there's only... How many people? No, I'm just telling you the reality. He has to fall in love with the people, and God give me a love for these people and reach these people. And he's a medic, and what he sees is he brings them in, and we see them raised up to 12 years of age, and they get saved somewhere in there most of the time. But then they get to here, and something happens in the culture, and then we see them walking down the boardwalk, and you look underneath them. There he lays. He came through that door just a few years ago. Come to church. I was laying in a ditch. Is he alive? Is there anybody to help him? Does anybody care? I watched that missionary with tears flowing down his face, and he hollered out his name, and he grabbed him and pulled him up to him. Preachers preach suicide after suicide. It's a dark, dark world that we live in. Young boy that sat on my bus week after week came to our church camp. Said, Pastor Kelly, that was the greatest camp. I can't wait to get to church Sunday. Boy, he came, and then their family moved. I get a call. Jackson took his life at 12 years of age. See, years ago, his mother rejected him. Years ago. I'm saying there are people that are hurting. If God's people who are called by his name don't humble themselves and say, God, would you use my life to get involved in people's life that nobody else cares about? I know. Church is about comfort. This is the parking lot at the high school. It's a bunch of snow machines and four-wheelers. Sound fun, amen? Until you're trying to go in 51 below zero. And that wind is so cold. But oh, what an adventure. We were pulling my wife and his wife and their daughter and a son, and they're in a dog sled. And the preacher and I, we're on the snow machine because I'm fat. I was almost 400 pounds then. They put me on the back of the snow machine, and him and I are talking about the service and what God has done. We're hollering back and forth. We're just having a great time. He's in that snow machine. We're pulling my wife and him in the back. We get to the house, and I get off the snow machine. I turn around to help my wife get out, and they're gone. We lost them way out in the middle of the river. He turns around, he goes back and gets... I'm just saying, we go back there, they're cackling and laughing. Listen, serving God is an adventure. What God's allowed us to do has been nothing more than a fulfillment of Jeremiah 33:3, when I was just a little boy. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can you see them? They'll soon grow. Who's going to go? Who's going to care? Well, this is a young couple. They're in Uniclete, Alaska, Michael and Amanda Forrest. They both were in camps years ago at His Servant Bible Camp. Mike then began to run. They were in Pastor Roach's church growing up as kids. Been a part of our lives and part of our ministries for years. Had the privilege of going out and doing a spiritual warfare conference for them, and Oh, how God moved and watched her family sing. Watching the me I sees, the me I'll be. There's her little boy, Owen. He's eating some dried fish. How many want to try that? God took us to Paraguay. Found out we were going to do this ministry, and he said, when you coming back? I know God owns the cattle on the thousand hill. And I said, Lord, I'd love to go to all these places, but God, you've got to provide. And God will. If that's where God wants us to go, he has never let me down one time. But I'm saying, there's places like this all around the world that are open for somebody to share the authority of who they are in Christ. The local churches of America need help. So we're traveling, we're doing the Treasures of the Heart is a series. We start off in Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Keep thy heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How many believe that tonight? What are we to do? If we're to keep our heart with all diligence, that means on purpose. If I was to ask you, who does your heart belong to tonight? Well, I got saved, I gave my heart to Jesus. No, I'm talking about, who does your heart belong to? Does it belong to the work world? Does it belong to money? Does it belong to him, her? Who does it belong to? If it doesn't belong to him, then we've got to get something right tonight. For where your treasure is, where's your treasure? Is your treasure in Jesus? Is he enough? Is he sufficient? If all I get at the end of this is Jesus, is it enough? Oh, yes. It's more than enough. More than enough. Well, preacher, if I serve him, will he do this and this and this and this? I've known preachers who serve him, and they're in villages for 20 and 30 and 40 years. They've got 300 people there and they're serving this generation after generation after generation. I'm talking about hard work. There's nobody patting them on the back and everybody had... They're not getting their name in lights. They're just serving him. Some of the greatest people I'll know. You'll never know their names. Well, I've been in the hills of West Virginia and Kentucky and some of those backwoods and Appalachian Mountains that you wouldn't believe the work that God's doing in some of those people's lives. We're talking country. Country. Way back country. Hey, I'll tell you how country I'm becoming. I ate okra. I did. You say, preacher, what's wrong with okra? I grew up in Ohio. You don't eat okra in Ohio. And I liked it. As long as it's deep fried and you got lots of sauce. But it was good. I went to, with my mother on Mother's Day today, we went over to that shack place. They said, what do you want as your sides? And I said, I'll take me some okra. You know, if I'm lying, I'm dying. If today they said, you can have anything you want. What do you want? I said, oh, give me some of that slimy okra. They said, no, you can have a big steak or a bowl of slimy okra. Well, I'd say, give me them both. No. I'm just saying God's amazing. You say, Brother Kelly, what? I want you to preach at us. No, I want you to understand that there's people in need. The roots and fruits of rejection. I believe the number one battle that everyone is facing tonight is just simply rejection. Hurts in our life. We are right now what we have been becoming. You didn't get here by accident. You have been becoming who you are tonight. And so your beliefs about yourself, your beliefs about God have been molded through a framework of things that you've experienced, things that you've heard, things that you've been taught. And so your belief process, and I believe some of it's skewed tonight. Because according to the Word of God, God is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If I was to ask you tonight, what would you ask God for? I want to see God do something in my life, in my children's life, right? What would you ask God for tonight? Oh, hey, our life will soon be passing. Only what's done for Christ will last. We soon will leave this old world. We'll be home with Him. If you could ask him for anything right now, what would it be? Would it be so you could consume it upon your flesh? Or would it be that God might get glory? That he might get praise? That he might get joy? God is able to do. What is it tonight that you are trusting God for? What are you looking to him tonight and saying, God, if you don't do it, if you don't show up, God, if you don't come, Lord, what is it? I'm saying our whole marriage has been built on faith. We go from church and then to a church and then to a church and back to the same church. And if God didn't do it, it's been many times where I said, God, if you don't provide, God, if you don't step in, God, if you don't do the work. Oh, many times as a dad, I wanted to take the joysticks of their life. You know what I'm talking about. Many times I tried. But here's what I learned. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, what God can do if we just get some truth. You ever think about rebellious kids? How many think you are the perfect parent? There's only been one, and that's God. And God has rebellious children. Can't make them do. But I'm telling you, there's one that'll work in their life while God is working in my life to trust in him with my children. God is working in their life to draw them to him. He loves them more than you love. Say, that's not possible. No, I'm telling you tonight, he loves them more. And God's at work on the other end of this thing. I remember as we were going through a storm in our life and there was some sin being committed and I was stressing about the sin. I was stressing about what was going on in their life. And God woke me up and he said, "Have you remember Romans chapter 6? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Am I going to let their sin cause me to stress and worry and fret and fear? Or am I going to trust in the one who's seen it, who's already carried their sin and nailed to the cross and took it out of the way, everything that was contrary to them? Am I going to trust in him to do the work that he can only do in their life? Because if they do it just for me, it won't last. Oh, what God has done. God is an amazing God. So what's that have to do with anything? See, one pastor said, "Well, what makes you think you're qualified? You know, the little bit of training you've had in spiritual warfare and conferences." I'm not qualified. Well, I've got some stories. I've been called. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And what God does, I've always used this statement, if God could use a donkey, God could use me. I just have to be willing. You have to be willing. Say, God, take my life. Oh, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Is God able? What do you want to see God do with your life? Where do you want to see God take this church? Where do you want to see God do? What do you want to see God do? If you could name anything, God, I want you to do something in the young people's lives in our church. God, as they go to camp here in a couple weeks, God, would you move among them? Would you call them with, Lord, I'm not saying they all have to be pastors. But God, I want them to give you their whole heart. I know there's no true joy outside of serving him. There's no true peace outside of living for him. How to recognize the roots and fruits of a bitterness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, whereby many be defiled. For years, I had a bitterness in my heart. I was mad at God. When God exposed that root in my life and I got rid of that root, don't have time to tell you the whole story. But when that was taken out, there are places in my life where I should be angry, but I don't get angry anymore. I used to think my hot temper was because I was Polish. And Polish people have a right to be angry too. Amen. Hitler did some bad things to Polish people. And I want you to understand that my dad was angry, my brothers are angry, and I just thought it was just normal. That's just who I am. Deal with it. But every time I would smart off of my mouth, and I'd have to go back and deal with it. I was a pastor, and I would be quick-witted and quick-tongued, and I could just lay it out there, and I was right in what I said and feel vindicated when I said it. I'd pillow my head, and the Spirit of God would say, "Preacher, you may have been right in what you said, but you were wrong in how you said it. Those are my people." I have to call people on the phone, go to their house. Oh, I hated anger. Anybody else? That root of bitterness that would spring up and trouble me, I wasn't wrestling flesh and blood. I was wrestling principalities and powers. You see, I had given place to my heart a root of bitterness that would spring up and trouble me. Satan wasn't exposing himself. He was exposing me. He was defaming the name of God. He was doing everything he could do to show God's preacher, well, he must not be real if he's going to get angry. Wow. Oh, when God got rid of that, when God did that, showed me that in my life, it changed everything. Unwanted, unloved, rejection. We are right now who we have been becoming. We're either living from the inside out or the outside in. You have those five gates, and I know I've taught this here, so I'll not go very long in it, but I want you to think about the reality of your inputting and your responding based upon input or your outputting. The Spirit of the living God that moved inside of you the day you got saved, how much of the Spirit of God did you get? All of it. Those of you in discipleship, how much of the Spirit of God did you get? All of it. Now it's how much is He going to get of you? He bought you. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. Right? He tells the disciples, be filled with the Spirit. And why? When we look at our lives and we think, wait a minute, I see this and I think that and I feel this and you're looking from the outside in and responding, you're just acting in the flesh. But oh God, I want my eyes to be your eyes. I want my ears to be your ears. I want the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. I want the words that I speak, God, to be your words. I want these hands to be your hands. God, let my life be used for you. My life, Lord, is yours to control. Experiencing God is a new series that we've been doing. And you know what I figured out? I figured out if you know who He is and you spend some time with Him, you'll want to spend time with Him. The problem is we don't know who He is. We don't know what He said. We know churchology. We know all the words. But we don't know what it means to fall upon the amazing grace of God and become before His throne with thanksgiving in our heart and fall in the presence of God and feel His presence, His power, His love, His unconditional love, His mercy, His grace. I'm convinced if I can show people who Jesus is and what He's done for them, they would realize the closer they get to Him, the more they began to resemble Him and look like Him and be conformed to His image. You see, you're not asked to be me. Thank God. Remember when you were in kindergarten? You'd line up against the wall and the teachers would come along and she would outline you. Then you'd take your little scissors and you'd cut out. And then they would stick it on the wall and the other kids would walk down the hallway, upperclassmen. And they had to figure out who that little fat guy was on the wall. My body was perfect. It was rounded, well rounded. And as they walked down through there, people would put Kelly. We know who that is. And Mr. Bubbles, you know. That's Kelly. And I'd look at that and I think, well, that's a pattern. That's who that is. But I'm not asked to fit in the pattern of Kelly. I'm asked to take the pattern of Jesus Christ and to fit in His pattern tonight. What are you looking through? The eyes of the flesh, the eyes of the world, the eyes of the devil? Are you looking through the eyes of God tonight? What does God have for you? What do you hear when the preacher preaches? What do you see when you look at this world? Do you see the world is getting wickeder and wickeder? How many think things are getting pretty much spiraling down and out? Who would have thought we wouldn't know what bathrooms to go through with AI and all the things that we know in America? Who would have thought we couldn't understand basic biology? Who would have thought that it would come to where we are today? The vileness, the wickedness of sin, the darkness. What we preach is considered hate speech. I'm asking you tonight, when's the last time you just spent some time with God? When's the last time you said, "Be still and know that I am God"? When's the last time you spent some time with Him? I know. I love to preach. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts." Now that root of bitterness was a blindness in my heart for a while. It robbed me. It robbed me of some relationships. Robbed me of some friendships. Robbed me of making some difference. Robbed them of God doing a work in their life. And I thought I was okay. I could vindicate myself. Well, that's just who I am. No, I'm a child of the King. I'm a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. I am now to be conformed to His image. I'm to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I am not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's no excuse. I'm just old. Well, hey, it's time to get bold now that you're old and say, "Yes, Lord, yes, to His will and to His way. I don't have much longer to live, but as long as I live, God, I'm living every day for You. God, give me a bus kid. God, give me a little boy next door. Give me a little girl. Give me an old man. Give me a drunk on the street. Give me somebody that I can give them You." You'll never know when it'll be that first generation Jake Sinoreski who God touched his life at 29 years of age, a drunkard, vile man. Or perhaps Stan Roach, the age of 28 years of age, Vietnam vet, mercenary to missionary, goal to live a vile life. God would touch his life, save him, change him, went from mercenary to missionary. Dad went from a drunkard to a preacher. Then a missionary. Oh, what God will do. And he said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee." As we would stand there in that tent revival when I was just a little boy, and we would all be required to memorize that. And we would memorize. I never knew the difference that it would make. Show us great and mighty things. What do you want to see God do? What's next? Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to see God. I want to see Him work. You want your kids to believe? Let Him see Him real in you. Let Him know that, hey, this isn't some type of genie in a bottle. This ain't Santa Claus. This is the living God who we understand can do abundantly above and beyond what we even ask or think. We're asked to serve Him. We get Him. We get to live with Him, work for Him, be with Him, see God move. Oh, what God could do if we just say yes. Not you. Who? Who? Well, I sure hope God brings somebody in our church. He already has. And you're somebody. No, preacher, I'm a nobody. Oh, God takes a nobody like Moses, takes him to the backside of a desert, and makes him a somebody. At the age of 80 years of age, he comes out and the next 40 years of his life leads God's people. Oh, I'm asking you today, it started with a mother by faith. I'm asking you today, are you willing? Preacher, I just don't know. You're alienated. It ought to make you mad. We get mad at everything. That'll make you mad. That Satan has duped you, robbed you of God's best. If good is the enemy of better, then better is the enemy of God's best. And I want you to know God wants much more for your life. How many want that tonight? How many believe that tonight? What could God do? Not with them, but with you. You said, here am I. Lord, not much. We go on and teach people how to walk in victory. I'll close with this tonight. Young lady in purple, January the 5th, we began our first spiritual warfare conference as now traveling evangelist, whatever you want to call us. We're supposed to go to Wednesday, extended to Thursday, but on Tuesday night, this young lady said, I've got to talk with you. Her boyfriend and I and her went in the back room and she began to tell me a horrible story. She says, how could a God that loves me take my mama when I was 12 years old and leave me without a mom? You tell me that God loves me. And preacher, I want to believe that. I want to believe what you said. But how could a God that loves me? We began to weed away the lies of Satan in her life. I told her, I said, sis, what you're doing is you're dragging around all this garbage that Satan wants to destroy your life with. I said, how silly would it be for us today to go to our garbage can and just stick it in the closet? How many knows that's going to cause some problems? I mean, it's going to stink. It's going to affect our lives. And as we began to go through hurt after hurt, it seemed relationship after relationship, story after story. It's been story after... Told her how to be saved. Wednesday, she comes to church and says, Pastor, I did it. I said, what'd you do? She says, I was dragging the trash out to the garbage can in front of the house. And God asked me, how long am I going to drag that bitterness? How long am I going to keep that hurt? How long am I going to reject Him? And she said, right then and there, I received the gift of God. I believe that He is. I believe that He loves me. I believe that He wants. I know one of these days, preacher, I'm going to go be with my mama in heaven. I'm not saying life is fair. It wasn't fair that Jesus hung on the cross. Well, why me? Why not me? Paul would say, I count it all joy. If God can use my pain, if God can use my life, if God can take what I've got in my life, if He could take the death of my sister, take my life and let me go into people's homes and teach them how much God loves them. How that Satan wants to rob me of the grace of God and the peace of God and the mercy of God. I'm asking you tonight, not you, who? If not now, when? When are you going to get started? I'm going to do it. As soon as I finish, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to tell somebody. Your life is but a vapor. Gloriously saved. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. This is my youngest daughter's wedding, and you may not know, some of these grandkids that are here are there at that wedding, and the Wells were jumping. We paid them to come, and they're hopping with the Wells and pretty excited. But I know this, if I could get anything off to my grandkids, Scott's got big plans for your life. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be your daddy. You don't have to be your mama. But you have to be who God wants you to be. God has big dreams, bigger than you've ever dreamed of. Oh, if I could talk to the young people in here, God has big plans. Don't waste it on trying to joystick your life and manipulate God to what you want. I don't care if you're 20 years old or 90 years old. If you're still here breathing, God has plans for your life tonight. Huh? I'm too old. No! No! Othniel was over 80 years old when he got that sword down from off the mantle. And he said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. He said, I'm done saying that. And he led the young men out into battle. Oh, what you could teach. Did you ever read the Bible? Let the elderly women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. I wonder why they have to teach them to love us. Huh. Maybe the elderly women learn something. Men must be hard to love. I love me. But the elderly women teach their younger how to be keepers of the home. You say, Brother Kelly, what do you mean? Well, the guardian, the helper. We're not talking about sweeping and cleaning. That was Adam's job, by the way, in the garden. Sorry, read your Bible. I'm asking you tonight, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? My wife and I, we've surrendered. Given up our lovely homes, our lovely neighbors, the beauty, the vastness. Well, I guess there's some things I'm okay to give up. Would you say yes? You may be here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. You know the Bible can tell you how you can spend eternity in heaven. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God is interested in you knowing that you have eternal life. He wants you to know that. If you don't know that tonight, our number one goal, God's number one desire tonight, His plan for you is to know that you're saved. And if you know that you're saved, Satan is your enemy. And he wants to alienate you from the life of God because of the blindness of our heart. The word in the Bible is called ignorance. Sought for a man to stand in the gap. Someone that would teach them. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Somebody needs to go and tell them who they are in Christ. So my wife and I have surrendered of some caribou to the Heart of Truth Ministries. I ask you to pray for us. There are some prayer cards in the back and a little sheet. If you sign up, put your email address there or your phone number. We'll text or send you a prayer letter. You follow our adventures where we're at. Next week we go to Austin, Texas next Tuesday. Then we're in Dallas, Fort Worth. And then we're back over here in Century, Florida. And then we fly to Alaska. We're there for the next 3 months. And we got one stint where we're in one village for 18 days. Missionary just needs help. He's got to go have surgery. There's nobody to come. We're going to go in and make a difference in that village. Hopefully, I've been so excited about thinking what God could do in that time. Go to a couple places I've never been before. Go to a few churches we've never been before and share spiritual warfare. I get to go to Juneau, Alaska. We've played football there, but I've never preached there. And we'll be in two different churches in Juneau, a tent revival, and then you pray for us. Lots of miles ahead. We come back and we hit the road 100 miles an hour. I was looking at our schedule the other day. We preached a revival in Graham, North Carolina. On that Wednesday, we're done. On Tuesday or on Thursday, I got to be at a men's retreat in Tennessee. On that Saturday, I got to be back up in Dayton, Ohio, and start a revival. And then I go from there. It's amazing. If you'll just say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Not your typical mess